Golf sensation Tiger Woods says his car crash outside his Florida mansion is a private matter, and he intends to keep it that way.
Every one of you has good reason to be critical of me. I want to say to each of you, simply and directly, I am deeply sorry for my irresponsible and selfish behavior I engaged in.
Oh, yep. He's hurt.
There is something wrong
right now.
Something is wrong with Tiger Woods. Grimacing after his tee shot at 9, barely able to pick up his tee.
My second shot, I fell back into the bunker. Just jarred it, and it's been spasming ever since.
Same spot, same location as before.
It's just a whole lower back.
And listen, the Achilles, the knee, yeah. Fine.
Sure.
But golf, and you got a back problem?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, everything's about twisting and turning. He is finished.
At the 2017 Masters Champions dinner, Tiger's told a couple of the guys at the dinner that he was done. So if Tiger thought he was done in 2017, the rest of us all had the right to think he was done.
I'm incredibly impressed with his comeback. In his current form, he's a great player again. He has a game that is good enough to win majors, will win majors. And I really don't think it's won. I think he will win a few majors as long as he stays healthy. Yeah.
Screen, and this is going to get better and better and better. He hasn't forgotten how to do it.
Vintage Tiger Woods has showed up this afternoon on the back nine at Augusta. How about this?
Very good. Tiger on the charge. That was a noise and a half.
Many doubted we'd ever see it. But here it is. The return to glory.
22 years on from the first green jacket comes the fifth.
Your son Charlie, for a New Year's resolution project for his fourth grade class, had to write one thing that he hoped for in 2019, and that was he wanted to see his father win a golf tournament.
Correct. He got witnessed it on a golf tournament, witnessed me winning a major championship, so I don't think things get any more special for me because when I first won here, it was my dad at the back of the green, and now it's my two kids.
There we are, Tiger Woods, front page of most newspapers around the world this afternoon and this morning. The most unforeseeable of comebacks, Masters champion 2019, his 15th major, his fifth green jacket. We're joined to discuss by Lawrence Donegan. You're there, Lawrence.
How are you doing there, Joe?
Good to have you with us. And Dermot Calise of the Sunday Independent, you're somewhere near Augusta, I presume, Dermot?
I am, yes, Joe.
How you doing there, Dermot? Good to see you at the Masters, pal.
Ah, dear.
So you had a good one, Dermot.
I'm just reading a line here in the Augusta Chronicle from a 52-year-old Michael Stokes of Atlanta. He says, I'm going to be in trouble with my wife for being here in Augusta all week, but it was worth it. I've been following Tiger since he was a snapper. I think there's a lot of people who could be saying that this week.
Yeah, no doubt. Gents, we'll talk about the quality of play in a moment, but I think let's pause and tease out the scale of the achievement, just how big a story it is. And it struck me as we waited for Woods to tap in on 18, Lawrence, there was almost a sense of anticipation. I certainly had it anyway. What would Woods' reaction be? And it was most certainly beyond anything we had seen from Woods before. The outpouring, you know, with his family and his entourage and his children. And there is no doubt Woods is a flawed human being, certainly was and probably still is in many respects. But there was just a sense that even if you're not a Woods fan, of somebody who has probably in many respects been to hell and come back, and he let that out a little bit. I felt it was a really remarkable reaction from Woods.
Yeah, because I mean, he's not stoic's probably the wrong word, but he's been very kind of self-contained over the years, hasn't he? What was interesting to me, I just wonder if we all know how far in the hole he really was. Looking through Twitter last night, for instance, Serena Williams, you look at her tweet, you know, people have no idea where you were. You know, guys, you know, these kind of world-level athletes who all hang out together. And the way that they were tweeting, to me, it revealed a little bit, you know, that he was deeper in the hole than we even know, you know, physically, certainly mentally. I mean, it was all out there, wasn't it? But for, so I wonder if there was a touch of that. And nothing gets you like parenthood, does it? I mean, it just, it's the be-all and end-all. And the idea of your kids watching it, of your, and then his memory goes back to 97, his father. I mean, the full circle. I mean, he's human like the rest of us, but it was like nothing you'd ever seen before from him. It was really, and I'm not a Tiger Woods fan, but even I bought it, and it was genuine. You know, the thing about Tiger, sometimes you maybe think, well, he's not entirely authentic, you know, in the way that he behaves in a public forum.
Yeah.
But that was just like a dad. Hey kids, look at this. Isn't this amazing? You know, look what I can do. Look what I've done in the past. It was phenomenal. It was brilliant.
Yeah, they were iconic scenes at 18, Dermot.
Yeah.
There were. I tried to brave the crowd, actually. I went down there. I felt it incumbent on me because of the nature of the occasion and the thousands there. Like, I mean, it was manic, you know. And as he was about to finish, or as he finished, actually, all you could hear was Tiger, Tiger, Tiger. And there was an enormous swell of emotion, really. You know, somebody likened it a bit to 86 when Jack Nicklaus won his last, but they added like that there were tears on that occasion. This didn't seem to be an occasion for tears. It seemed an occasion just to be joyous for the triumph of a human being, really, over adversity. I must admit, I was deeply moved by the whole thing. But as you were saying, as Lawrence was saying about his reaction, I watched him as he walked off the green, walked up the pathway towards the recorders, and he was absolutely beaming. I've never seen a smile from him like it before, you know, and he was tipping hands with people and really just extremely warm. I mean, not the sort of Tiger, the cold, calculating athlete that we once knew. I mean, this was a very different man. And the humanity of the whole thing really got me, I have to say.
Yeah, you and lots of us, I think, because it was real, you know, and Tiger Woods in the past has used the voice of his dead father in a Nike commercial to address the off-the-course activities, the breakdown of his marriage. He has been incredibly cynical at times in these moments and overly commercialized and married to Nike. You know, that's the most stable relationship in his life has probably been Nike along with his mother. And yet, Lawrence, it did feel real yesterday. Even as he walked off 18, I thought it's dawning on him what he's done. Like, he's fist pumping almost as it, there'd be a pause and it would hit him again. And he kind of almost a realization, this is real. And then he saw the family and then there was the walk off. And it was genuine and just so bloody unlikely. It's hard to overstate for casual sports fans who are vaguely aware that Tigers had back trouble here and there, just how unlikely this was.
Yeah, what the word that struck me there, Dermot painted the picture of the humanity of the scene. You know, yet another layer to this incredibly complex character.
Yeah.
He's actually human after all, he's not a machine. But yeah, right, about, I mean, there's been some terrible marketing mistakes through the years. But yeah, if you think about it, I was going through it this morning. 2015, again, this is one for the golf nerds, but 2015 is at the Phoenix Open. You know, I mean, chipping like you and I, Joe. I mean, his game was completely gone. People were doing great features on the Golf Channel and on Sky Golf or ever about his chipping yips. So there's that element to it. You know, the back fusion. He's across the table from Faldo at the Champions Dinner, I think 2017. Yeah. I'm done.
Yeah.
He tells Faldo, I'm done.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff kicking around this morning about, you know, poking fun at people who wrote Tiger Woods off, especially journalists. But you got to remember, Tiger Woods wrote Tiger Woods off. So there's that side to it as well. And then you have the scene at the Florida roadside at 3 a.m. in the morning, you know, picked up, cocktail of drugs. I mean, those terrible, awful videos in the police containment cell. So there's all of that. And no wonder, I mean, no wonder he kind of completely let himself go. And the way that, you know, he let himself go back in, you know, in 2001 when he won the PGA Championship against Bob May in the playoff, you know, the way he celebrated then, those were genuine kind of celebrations. But this one had that, as Dermot said, just had that human element to it. you know, there was the good performer, the great performance on the golf course, but there was this human drama aside. As I say, it's just another layer to this incredibly, you know, epochal sporting figure. I mean, it really is. He's got it all.
He's had four knee surgeries, Dermot, three back surgeries in the space of 19 months in the lead up to that Augusta Masters Champions dinner in 2017, which Lawrence referenced. And then he flew out to London the day after. The spinal fusion was ultimately about quality of life, it seems. It was about being able to play football with his daughter and be able to lift up his kids. And then there is the chipping yips. Padraig Harrington told a great story about that Phoenix event where the players in the locker room turned off the TV during it. Because, well, one, I think they just didn't want it in their consciousness. But two, it was just sad. It was pathetic, a bit like the DUI video. To rebuild his game, the field is arguably, I think we'd all agree, stronger now than it was around 2000 when he was at his peak. He beat two of the form players, Dermot in Molinari and Koepka in major terms, two of the form players in the world. He's 43 years old. I know you're a man who adores Ben Hogan. I think it beats Ben Hogan's comeback.
Yeah, I don't think they're comparable, really, Joe. But, I mean, I always felt from Carnoustie, when he went into the lead there and then lost them on the final holes, I always felt from that point that he was capable of winning another major. Because for him, I know majors are more important. We rate them more highly than that. But his competitive instincts are such that once he can win, as he did in the Tour Championship, the Masters was simply a similar step to him because of the way he competes, of the way he thinks. I mean, I thought the back nine yesterday was an extraordinary exhibition of positive, really competitive thinking over a very difficult stretch of holes. I mean, I remember Tom Watson used to say that handling pressure, he said, is not just about holding your nerve. It's about proper decision-making. And I think we saw that in spades in the playing of the 12th hole, which was, in my view, decisive. I don't think many people would argue that.
Yeah. So of the final of the final two groups, Poulter and Koepka and Finau and Molinari all went in, which is quite extraordinary.
Yeah, well, I mean, Tiger talked about it afterwards in his press conference, and this was something that Nicklaus always said about playing the 12th. The wind swirls there so dangerously that the safe shot is always a hard shot between the two bunkers left, the bunker front and back. And Tiger saw Molinari's shot go into the water. Molinari hit an 8-iron, but he tried, by his own admission, to take a piece off it, and he simply didn't hit it hard enough. Mm. But, I mean, Tiger was asked, were you influenced at all by what Molinari did? And he said he had a 9-iron in his hand, and he said he never thought of changing his mind. He went for his original strategy, which was a hard 9 between the two bunkers. At worst, he was going to be in either the front bunker or the back bunker. And at best, he was going to be on the green with 2 putts for a par, which is exactly what happened. That's the sort of thinking I believe that was decisive for him. And if you take it further to the 15th, again by his own admission, Molinari, who had displayed extraordinary nerve in getting up and down so often on the front nine.
Yeah.
But he admitted that on the 15th, he had a third shot, which he was gambling wouldn't hit a tree. It was a dangerous shot to take on. The logical shot would have been to hit it for the right bunker and then hope to get up and down from there. Instead, he took the gamble and, of course, he finished up with a double bogey. Again, that was poor decision-making, which can happen to a player under pressure. It doesn't happen to Woods. That's the difference that I've observed over the years.
Yeah. Lawrence, as the day unfolded, you know, Woods makes the bogeys on 4 and 5. He talked about going into a restroom and cussing himself, as he said, and, you know, get it together, man. Molinari was he had a two-way miss going as the day went on. He was still saving par. I appreciate he was saving par, but, I mean, the old Lee Trevino line, you know, two things won't last long in this world, dogs who chase cars and pros who put for par. He was hanging on a little bit, I felt, even though he was hanging on for longer than I thought he was going to, having to put for par so often.
Well, I always think that your golf is perfectly designed. 18 holes are, you know, for a round, and 72 holes for a major championship or a pro tournament. It kind of gets you in the end, doesn't it? You know, it tests every single facet. It might not test you in the first 63 holes, but it's going to test your, you know, it's going to test you in the, on the back nine. I mean, Dermot just laid it out there for Molinari. I mean, I think, you know, the difference between Molinari and Tiger yesterday was Tiger's been there before in the Masters, you know. He had that kind of institutional knowledge. I mean, I know Molinari's a top three player in the world, but I think his brain was scrambled. Yeah, I just think his brain just scrambled. He started making bad decisions. You know, that Nicklaus said that the way to win major chances is just to hang around, be there in the back nine on a Sunday afternoon. And what happened on yesterday was Tiger, I mean, it was textbook course management, brilliant course management, didn't take any risks. He was obviously playing brilliantly, but he played it beautifully, and he let others make the mistakes. And again, it just gets you, doesn't it? Yeah. And that theater, that is the ultimate theater. I mean, we all know it. I mean, Molinari, how many times has Molinari played the 12th hole at Augusta? I mean, he should know. Don't go. You never go for the pin on the right side. You go. You just hit it in the middle of the green and walk off of your par. It's. I mean, did you not see Jordan Spieth? You know that. So, yeah. Again, it's just a mental thing. And Tiger has it. I mean, he's always had it. I mean, he might have not had it, you know, the physical game at one point, but he's always had the mental game, and it came through in the end. It was awesome to watch.
So many elements to the Tiger performance. Like he got his fair share of luck, you know. his ball seems like no matter where he hits it, it's going to come out in the 13th fairway, and then on 11, how he finds those gaps, I'm not quite sure. Though that said, the shot yesterday he hit from 11 was treacherous, Lawrence. You know, that was just crying out to go into the water.
Well, I mean, people say that the Tiger's a lucky player. I mean, I don't know, maybe Dermot. I mean, Dermot, has there been lucky players through the years, quotes and quotes, lucky?
I don't remember, to be honest with you, Lawrence. I think there was a huge element with Tiger, though, when he hit balls sideways, which he did from time to time, well, actually quite often, the gallery helped him considerably. There's no question about that. I've no doubt that his ball was knocked into favourable positions by enthusiastic or favourable fans. But generally speaking, he does get breaks. There's no question about it. The old thing in life in general, like, you make your own breaks, I suppose. But he does seem to be fortunate. I mean, that shot at 11 was quite remarkable. I mean, to hit it in there. Although, there again, as against that, he hit it in trouble at 10 and had to take his punishment, you know. So I suppose maybe we tend to just pick out the ones that he gets away with. He does, I have to say. I remember Paul McGinley saying, like, that nobody in his experience in golf had ever got away with so much wayward driving as Tiger did. I don't know. Maybe the golfing gods are looking after him.
Yeah, maybe. Go on, Lawrence. Yeah.
The other thing is he's just brilliant at hitting escape shots. I mean, he just is.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go back, if you read his, you know, when he was a kid playing down at the Navy Golf Course in Orange County when he's grown up. I mean, he talks about playing shots from behind trees and underneath trees, and, you know, so he actually, I mean, he was practicing this stuff. I mean, they were all practicing this stuff, I guess, when they were kids, but he seemed to put a particular emphasis on it. It was all part of his development, and lo and behold, here we are 30 years later, and he's pulling off at Augusta.
Yeah.
He is, I mean, he's kind of Seve-esque in his ability to get out of trouble, isn't he?
That's true. Yeah, it's true. I mean, Seve at Pedreña used to deliberately hit shots into the trees when he was warming up for Augusta, you know, so that he'd be familiar with recoveries. So I suppose Tiger was the same, yeah.
And what about the putting, Lawrence? I mean, he's not what he was with a putter, but geez, the put on 9.
Putting was good enough this week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, the thing which struck me, I thought he drove the ball pretty well. You know, there was a lot of, which I haven't seen in recent years, there's a lot of smash the drive, bend down, don't even look where it's going. There was a lot of that.
He was saying afterwards that last week, or was it last week in the match play? God, time is moving in a strange way at the moment. But in the match play, he suddenly saw the booming draw with the driver, and he said, I thought to myself, this is actually coming together quite nicely for me, you know. So he was feeling good. I wonder, what are we looking at here now, Lawrence? This Tiger, is this 2.0 or is it 3.0? I don't know. We're not looking at someone who's going to rack up another 15, 20 PGA Tour victories, I suspect. His career now, I would think, almost because of the physical limitations. Like he did say yesterday, he was sore. He's feeling sore. He said, I'm not hitting golf balls tomorrow. Are we looking at someone who's just going to build the next 4, 5, 6 years solely around majors and the Snead record's going to come?
He's actually played quite a lot, Joe, in the last... I'm surprised. Certainly last year, his schedule was much, much bigger. Or it was much more full than people thought it was going to be. So I think he has the ability to play that amount of, that much golf. But you would have to think in terms... The whole market and things only kick in. Yeah. I mean, Nike were already at it yesterday afternoon. I mean, it is all about the race to Jack, isn't it? So yeah. I think the schedule will narrow back to what it was in the day. And it's all about, I mean, it's all about these next four majors from now on, I think. Whether or not he gets here will be a very interesting question.
I mean, sure will. He was definitely shattered last year, and at the Ryder Cup he was a shell. I think he hadn't anticipated doing so well at winning the Tour Championship. Jack quipped Dermot that he's quaking in his boots. So what chance now for Woods?
Well, I mean, picking up on what Lawrence was saying there, I mean, Lee Trevino, as we know, was struck by lightning and had serious back problems in the mid-70s. And I think he won the last of his six majors in 1985 or 86, you know, about 10 years later. Now, I don't see any reason why Tiger, once he takes care of his health and doesn't overdo it. I mean, there was no question he was very tired last year at the Ryder Cup. But he said afterwards yesterday in his press conference that he was definitely cutting back on his schedule this year. So I think if he manages his tournaments, I mean, Nicklaus at his peak played no more than 12 or 13 PGA events every year. And I think that's what Tiger's going to finish doing. And I wouldn't bet against him winning another three or four majors. I really wouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Lawrence, it's hard to overstate what this does for golf, Lawrence.
Well, it does. You look at all the... I mean, you look at the newspapers this morning. I mean, when was the last time golf was on the front page of every single newspaper? Just about. I mean, I'm getting texts all over the place from people who know I'm involved in golf and the golf world. And these people are, you know, never talk about golf. Haven't spoken about golf for years. Texts everywhere about how isn't this amazing? So he takes what he did before. He's taken golf out of the golf space and into the kind of cultural and social space. It's huge for golf. The only difference now, you know, in terms of his appeal for young kids. I mean, are kids going to relate to a 43-year-old guy? I mean, they certainly could relate to a 21-year-old kid when he was winning in 97.
Yeah.
Slight difference, but it's huge for golf. But golf at the professional level is doing really, really well. And you just hope it has an impact in golf at grassroots level. Maybe it'll encourage...
The last time golf was on the front pages like this was Tiger Woods just over, 8, 9 years ago when he was on the New York Post for 21 days running, beating the record of September 11th because of the fallout from the scandal. Like, that is honestly the reality. And to that point, to finish up on Tiger, and there is a degree of speculation here, I appreciate in the question. He does look like somebody who is more content in himself, who has a degree more... perspective, maybe that's parenthood. It's just aging. Maybe to some degree you're humbled by the scale of the fall, and by losing everything and getting it back in some respects. And people accepting him. You know, it was no given that people would accept him after the way he behaved. I mean, it's extraordinary the extent to which they have. But he does look like a more content person. Now, Lawrence, he's still hanging out with Donald Trump, and it's hard to accommodate and make sense of that. He's still this very flawed person, but he does seem to be a more likable person, we can say that much, than he was 10 years ago.
I was going to say relatable.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I think, the whole kind of family element, not all of us, but, you know, a lot of people have kids, so there is that. And you look at his reaction yesterday. I mean, there was a real authenticity about that. And I think people can sense that. Hopefully, the agents and the sponsors don't step in and start, you know, undercutting it. Mm. You know, let it be real. And if it's real, then I think it's far more powerful. It's I was actually amazed at how open he was yesterday. I know we talked about this earlier, but you know, so I think that would be great for golf. It would be great for him, and that would be, you know, it would be you know, it would it just transcends sport. Once again, he's done it again, the way he did it back in 97.
I know, and like not to win his major at a USPGA course that no one knows. Yeah, like he's doing it at the Masters. Yeah. Dermot, did he strike you as maybe a more contented person than he has been previously?
Yeah, I mean, I think Lawrence is on the button there when he talks about, you know, the humanity of the man is coming through. You know, I mean, having been through so much, he's clearly conscious of that and aware of that. And I don't know what God he prays to, but I suspect he is thanking some higher power for all that's been that he's been given of late. And you know, it was very evident in his press conference afterwards that there was an ease about the way he handled everything. There was no triumphalism, which I thought was very interesting. Everything was very calm and assured and very soft-spoken in many ways, you know, and loads of smiles. Loads of smiles. Every other question he was asked brought a smile, which again was not the usual Tiger. We can't see into his very soul, but what we are seeing, I think, is extremely gratifying. Mm. You know, that I'm genuinely hugely pleased for the man. That, you know, I can't get those images of him standing with a traffic cop and, you know, barely able to walk straight, you know, from that road incident a few years ago. He's certainly come an awful long way from that.
Yeah, he sure has. well, I want to get your thoughts before you go on Rory, but before we kind of completely draw a halo around him. I did just think, you know, Lawrence, a couple of weeks ago or months ago, he's been asked about race relations in the country, you know, and Trump had done something or other. It's hard to keep track of the different things he's done and said. And someone asked Woods about it after his round. Maybe it's not the best environment, sure. But I think his kind of quick response was, right now I think I'm hungry and I got to get something to eat. He would break your heart in that respect, you know. He's come a long way, but I would think the non-Trump fan that you are, he's kind of breaking your heart as well a little bit.
Well, none of these guys are perfect. I mean, exactly. None of us are perfect, Joe. So, you know what? I've long given up on Tiger as a figure for social change or you know, even social protest in the United States. I mean, so we'll leave that to one side.
Yeah.
Again, let's not put a halo around him. I mean, he's a golfer after all. But we're talking about sport. We're talking about him in like a sporting context. So, you know, it's phenomenal. But, you are right. He was never, despite what his father said, he was going to be as significant as Nelson Mandela and all that stuff. He proved pretty quickly when he started out that wasn't going to be the case. And he hasn't changed over the years. And there's no point in kind of crying over it now, I guess.
No, that's well put. So before we go then, Lawrence, Rory.
Well, I don't know. I'm lost for words, Joe. Who knows? I mean, he talked a great game. Maybe it was just one of those weeks. But you look at it. You look at this leaderboard, Joe. Every top player in the world was there, was in at it, apart from Justin Rose and Rory McIlroy. I mean, Rose has had a very quiet start to the season. Rory has been in fantastic form. I mean, you have to say, there can be no other reason other than just the pressure.
Yeah,
I think it's getting really. He's going to have to fool himself into winning one of these things, I think.
Yeah, I'm starting to think he might have to win it on a Saturday and just blitz people US Open style. Because then, Dermot, we watch him. It was almost inevitable he was going to shoot a 68 yesterday when the pressure was off.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, you don't like to crow over these things. But, I mean, what, he started with a 73, which left him 43rd, I think, you know. So he had a huge hill to climb from there. And Lawrence is right. The pressure of the career slam is clearly showing. I don't know what he needs to do to cope with this. All I do know is that if you talk about serious pressure to win, Tiger articulated it last Tuesday in his press conference. When he won the three successive major titles, he said he had 8 months to think about doing what became known as the Tiger Slam. Mm. Every time he went to a press conference, everybody brought up the Tiger Slam. How do you feel about doing the Tiger Slam? He had to live with that every week. virtually every week for the following 8 months until he came to Augusta. He then had to see through what he reckoned was the only chance possibly in his entire life he was going to have to win four successive major championships. And he said, and I did it. Now, Rory, by comparison, I suppose reasonably, he has at least another 10, 12 shots at this. And yet, he doesn't seem to be able to isolate it sufficiently to have a go, to see it through, and to take the monkey off his back. It's a pity, but that's the way it is at the moment, anyway.
Harrington made an intro. He put it in very good terms, I thought, on the BBC over the weekend. He said it's like Rory has a 2 or 3 shot lead from the first on Thursday, and there's that degree of tension in his game. I wonder, Lawrence, will he have to, you know, Tiger talks about when the need arises, just squeezing out an ugly little fade down the fairway. You know, might Rory have to develop some kind of less brilliant B game at times? Like it's hard to know. We're looking at him from afar, and he's just so brilliant, and he was so brilliant up until this week. You know, he knows best, but he's going to have to find a way to get through the Thursday and Friday of these things.
Well, actually, I haven't seen a lot on this, but I, looking at him on Thursday, you know, in the first round, I thought technically he didn't look quite right. He seemed to me to be sort of setting up to the left, I mean, trying to setting up left and almost hitting a little fade. I didn't see much of his ball flights, but he looked as if he was trying to work something, you know, something. He didn't have it, and he was trying to get something that would just get him through the day kind of thing.
Right.
But, I mean, golf is like that, isn't it? It's so capricious. I mean, you've got it 1 minute and the next minute you don't. But I think you're right, Joe. He's going to have to backdoor one of these things. Or something like that, because clearly he cannot confront the pressure of it head on. So he's going to have to come up from round the back. He's either going to have to backdoor it, or he's going to have to absolutely annihilate the field in the first couple of days. But it's the Masters, and that just doesn't really happen normally. I know Tiger did it back in the day, but that you just can't run away with a Masters, because people know the course too well. I mean, it's very hard to separate yourself. So it's going to be, as I say, he's going to have to, luck's the wrong one. He's going to have to luck one. And once he gets one, you would imagine he'd get 2 or 3, because it's the kind of golf course that, you know, that he should really be able to play very well. The other thing as well, it's only 29. There's plenty of time yet. Yeah. But so, I mean, but that's, what's that, 2014? We're looking at 4.5 years without a major. That's quite, who would have said that back in 2014?
No, it's true. And who would have said 11 years for Tiger? Dermot, we'll be reading your thoughts on the whole thing, considered thoughts, in the Sunday Independent this week. Thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Right. Bye, Joe. Bye, Lawrence.
All the best. Take Dermot. Care. What an honour to be on with you, Dermot. Brilliant.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Well done. Well said. Nicely. Thank you.
Lawrence, thanks a mil. Great to have you with us, as always. Appreciate it.
All the best, Joe.
Golf sensation Tiger Woods says his car crash outside his Florida mansion is a private matter, and he intends to keep it that way.
Every one of you has good reason to be critical of me. I want to say to each of you, simply and directly, I am deeply sorry for my irresponsible and selfish behavior I engaged in.
Oh, yep. He's hurt. There is something wrong right now. Something is wrong with Tiger Woods. Grimacing after his tee shot at 9, barely able to pick up his tee.
My second shot, I fell back into the bunker. Just jarred it, and it's been spasming ever since.
Same spot, same location as before.
It's just a whole lower back.
And listen, the Achilles, the knee, yeah, fine.
Sure.
But golf, and you got a back problem?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, everything's about twisting and turning. He is finished.
At the 2017 Masters Champions dinner, Tiger's and told a couple of the guys at the dinner that he was done. So if Tiger thought he was done in 2017, the rest of us all had the right to think he was done.
I'm incredibly impressed with his comeback. In his current form, he's a great player. Again, he has a game that is good enough to win majors, will win majors. And I really don't think it's won. I think he will win a few majors as long as he stays healthy. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Tiger Woods now one back.
He knows all about this green, and this is going to get better and better and better. He hasn't forgotten how to do it.
Vintage Tiger Woods has showed up this afternoon on the back nine at Augusta. How about this?
Very good. Tiger on the charge. That was a noise and a half.
Many doubted we'd ever see it. But here it is. The return to glory.
22 years on from the first green jacket comes the fifth.
Your son, Charlie, for a New Year's resolution project for his fourth grade class, had to write one thing that he hoped for in 2019. And that was he wanted to see his father win a golf tournament.
Correct. He got witnessed on a golf tournament, witnessed me winning a major championship. So I don't think that things get any more special for me because when I first won here, it was my dad at the back of the green, and now it's my two kids.